This is the Night Shift on Triple M. This is Adam Shand sitting in for Luke Boner. We're all wondering whether the changes that we're seeing in our lives, our work patterns and so forth, whether they're going to be sustained and whether this is the new normal. And who knows at this stage, but someone who really focuses on these issues, the future of technology, the way we work, is Mark Pesce. He makes a very popular podcast on Podcast One Australia, The Next Billion Seconds. And Mark joins me now. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Adam.
Have you changed the way you work at the moment due to coronavirus?
So I have always worked in a mix of home and then at client spaces and then in a co-working space. And now it's really just pulled into home. And of course, I think like many people who are listening, the number of Zoom meetings I've had in the last fortnight has zoomed dramatically. And it's really interesting sort of discovering the things that it's good for and the things that it's not good for. It's good if people are going to be behaved, but I also had a dinner party with friends in America last weekend, and it was hard because when we get together in person, we all talk at once, and you can't do that on Zoom because it just becomes a babble.
I see.
And so there's sort of new rules around social etiquette on these channels that we're all learning at the same time, rules about how that works in the office. And it feels like we're learning all of this. And then the question is, as we come back to something like normal, as we see the other side of this, whether this is in a few weeks or a few months, will an employer ever be able to say, no, you can't work from home. We don't think you're going to work there. Will they ever be able to say that with a straight face again? Because all of us will have just worked at home for a couple of months.
Well, that's right. And we've had this technology that's been evolving now for a couple of decades, which has enabled us. Yet we've had for most of us, we've had a pretty static, traditional kind of workplace. Yet the technology was there to detach. And I wonder whether we might just not go back.
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting mix because I also have friends who are true extroverts and they are suffering in a serious way because one of the reasons they go to work is so they can connect face to face with other people. They enjoy that. And working from home, some of the time's okay, but if they work from home too much, it actually demotivates them. And so I think we're going to find that just as people have sort of work styles when they study, we're going to find out that some people really want to stay in the office and some people are going to be much happier working at home.
So the traditional workplace will survive, but we might see more of the workers working remotely, and therefore companies won't need as big a real estate spaces as they do now.
It is possible that the idea of the big centralized firm, that this was actually the beginning of the end for that. But if that is the case, then the way businesses manage their employees when they're distributed is going to have to be to give these employees a lot more self-control, a lot more autonomy. And a lot of businesses really aren't set up for that. A lot of businesses are set up for everyone comes in at 9 o'clock, does their work, leaves at 5 o'clock, they have the meeting at 10 a.m. You know, it's just like it's that regular roster of things that happen when everyone's in the same space. And if we break that cycle, then we're going to need new processes so that the businesses can still operate, so that bosses can still boss, but it's not going to be the same kind of bossing.
Indeed. So what's the mix, do you think, of the future that you can see so far? Obviously, it's happening, you know, day by day. Hard to make a prediction, but what are you feeling?
So the first thing I have to say is, you know, the next billion seconds, that was 30 years was my time horizon, which is what I like to work with. And we're really lucky if we get 30 days right now because things are changing so rapidly. But I think what we're going to see as part of this cycle, because there are both a lot of people out of work and a lot of people who are just not doing as much as they were, this is an enormous opportunity, not just to sit in the house and watch Netflix, but for people to go online and start learning new skills. And I'm hoping that people will get bored enough and also excited enough, because there's so much out there that's freely available or costs just a little bit of money, so that people can actually come back when we do come back with that next level of skills. And maybe we'll remember that this is an interesting pause, not just because it brought us back to our homes and our families and the way we live, but because it gave us a pause to breathe and wait a second, what do I need to learn? Where can I go and learn it?
What does that mean for you personally?
Well, it's interesting because I'm now making a lot of video almost every day. I've turned my home studio is now a home production studio, a home broadcast studio. And so I'm doing Zoom interviews with people. Those will become podcasts for the next billion seconds. I'm doing videos and I'm polishing up my chops in video production. so that I can actually almost be a bit of a one-man band in this, as well as finding out how clients want to be talked to. I make a living as a public speaker. What does it mean to be a public speaker when we aren't actually getting together in public right,
right.
now? So there's a lot of chance to be really inventive. And in fact, you can see all sorts of Australian businesses figuring out, wait a minute, that I can't make money that way anymore. What can I do that's adjacent to that that allows us to make money? And so not just me, but I think everyone in Australia is being forced to be really innovative right now just to stay in business.
I'm talking to Mark Pesce, the creator of The Next Billion Seconds from Podcast One Australia. Just give us a bit of an idea of what The Next Billion Seconds is all about on Podcast One.
So really what we try to do is we talk to people who are creating the future. So it might be Dr. Fiona Carr, who's down at the University of Adelaide, and she's actually researching what happens as, for instance, all of us sit in front of screens, or particularly when children sit in front of screens, how it changes the way they think and interact. We might talk to Tony Parisi, who's a pioneer in virtual reality, about what's coming in that world. And in fact, I talked to him quite recently, and they're taking a look at putting Zoom in virtual reality so that you'll actually be able to have a much larger number of people that talking to at the same time, but also being able to do design and things like that. So we have a wide range of people who have really, really strong knowledge, but are capable of communicating that in very clear terms. And one of the earlier episodes, Dr. Ken Goldberg came on, and this was back when everyone thought we were going to have self-driving cars basically by today.
Right.
And he rubbished it. He said, he's been making robots for 30 years. He's like, Mark, I will bet you money that we won't really have a good self-driving car until the end of the 2020s. And it turns out he's right, because he's been working on problems like this for a long time. And the CEO of Ford hadn't been. And it wasn't really until they tried to solve this problem that they understood how hard it was. And it's good to know that, because then we go, well, do our kids need to learn to drive? Well, if they're 10 today, yes, probably. If they're 2 today, yeah, probably not. And somewhere in there is going to be that transition away from driving, because self-driving cars will be safe enough and common enough for a 2-year-old. So 14 years from now, yeah, probably not going to learn to drive. 5-6 years from now, yeah, probably will learn to drive.
And you've also done a lot of work on the future of money, currency.
Yes.
Will we still have folding stuff in our pockets in 30 years?
So one of the sort of the sub stories that's been playing out amidst the horror of the coronavirus epidemic is that there was a period of time in China when they thought that their money, which is paper money, was virally infected. They thought the same thing in Iran, probably less true than we thought. And, you know, Australia's got good plastic money, so we can wash our money, which is really nice. We can keep it clean. But there was a movement afoot, and there's a very strong movement afoot in China to go to a digital yuan. So take the currency and make it completely digital. It'll just live on your smartphone. And that rollout has been delayed because China shut down for a couple of months, but it will come along later this year. And if they get that right, you will see different other countries across the world all adopting a purely digital currency. Now, part of this big stimulus package that was passed in the U.S. just a couple of days ago actually includes specific language for the Federal Reserve to start to issue a digital currency. Now, it doesn't give a date on when that will happen, but they now have permission to make it happen.
So will you have to have a smartphone in order to be a consumer in the future?
Well, I mean, I think so. But the thing is that about 60% of all adults on planet Earth now have a smartphone. So that's not a barrier in the same way that it might have been 15 years ago. All right. The smartphone is the most common tool in use on planet Earth now. It is also the most quickly adopted tool in human history. Because it's so useful for people in the developing world, it is an economic tool. Having a smartphone allows you to make more money. It's not just, oh, I can call my friends and I can play Animal Crossing in Africa. It's, wait, I can do all of these important economic activities. So it got taken up very quickly in India and in Africa and in China because it was an economic tool, not just a social tool.
I guess the Spanish flu back in 1919 was a major landmark. It changed society, it changed business, it everything. How will we look back, do you think, on the coronavirus, at least in the fields you're dealing with?
It has been really interesting to watch how different cultures have reacted to this, whether they've reacted quickly or slowly, different systems, the things that we thought were kind of fixtures of our life, such as pervasive air travel, have literally evaporated in just a fortnight, right? And so some of the things we thought about the way the world worked that we always thought were going to be set in stone are no longer true. And when they come back, we will be visiting them differently. So, and just even the borders between nations and the free travel, all of these things that we just accepted were just part of being a citizen in the 21st century. They've all gone away from us. And as they come back, we're going to have a different sensitivity toward them. We're going to view them, I think, both as being a little special, but also as being maybe not as permanent as we used to. And that will help us think about them differently. And we will think differently about whether we need to travel. You know, one of the things that had been a big question is we've had, as you pointed out, good video conferencing technologies for a couple decades now, and yet there's more business travel than ever, or there had been until a month ago. Now there's no business travel. So the question is, does that business travel come back 3, 6 months, a year, 2 years from now, or is more of this happening online? And this is, we don't really know the answer to that, but that's an option that kind of wasn't even in consideration just a month ago.
So for a guy involved in the future, this is an exciting time, Mark Pesce.
I'm doing one of the little video shows I'm doing is called Daily Future, because the future is being served up daily right now.
Fantastic. Well, we'll look forward to reading about or listening to it on your podcast, The Next Billion Seconds. Thank you so much, Mark Pesce.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, that was Mark Pesce, one of my colleagues at Podcast One. Fantastic podcast series. I recommend it, The Next Billion Seconds. And things are moving quickly. And I'm sure your industry has changed. Your life has changed. Can you see the future?